As we gather this morning on this Easter, I know that it's a very busy day and you all are excited to have so much to do. I'm going to preach a really short sermon today. April Fools, I got you! Now, if you're not a member of this church, you probably didn't think that was funny, but if you were a member of church, that's a joke, for sure. What a calendar quirk this is, that today is Easter Sunday, but also is April Fool's Day. Do you know the last time that actually happened was in 1956, when Easter fell on April Fool's Day? Do you know anybody who likes practical jokes? You guys like practical jokes? I think we all like practical jokes. We like watching practical jokes. We like hearing about practical jokes, except when they happen to us. That's when they're not as funny. When I was growing up as a kid in California, we used to visit our cousins in Berkeley every single year. And we had two cousins, older cousins, who used to like to prank us. They would punk us all the time, finding different ways to get us off of our kind of out of sorts. One particular year, I remember our cousins, my parents and my uncle and aunt, they went out to do something, and my cousins hid my parents' baggage and then told us, "Oh, wait, you didn't know? Your parents, they went back to Southern California." And I was like, "What?" You know, and my brother and mine faces. Now, you all don't know my brother, but if you did, we both have different interpretations of that story. In my interpretation of that story, I was nonplussed and fine. Well, that's just okay. I was 7 years old. It wasn't a problem. My brother was freaked out. But if he tells the story, he was the one who was nonplussed, and I was the one who was freaked out. But either way, my cousins, they love to do that to us. And they did that to us every single year. Surely, you might think that this is a day for us as we gather in this place. Hearing a story of the disciples coming into the tomb, Mary and disciples coming into the tomb and finding that it's empty, you might think the very same thing as the disciples gathered in that place, that they thought there must be some kind of joke going on, there must be a prank happening, because we saw our friend Jesus hanging on the cross. On Good Friday, we saw him on trial. We saw him beaten and scourged. We saw him crucified. And he was dead and buried in a stone-cold tomb. And when Mary and the disciples came running after them and said, "Jesus is alive once more. You thought he was dead, but he is alive." I'm sure the disciples thought the very same thing. They must have been wondering, this has got to be a joke. How can a person who was once dead now be alive? And so they came running to try to find out, how could this be? What is it that happened that would have brought somebody back from the dead? It must be a joke. It's got to be a prank. There's got to be something about this story that's wrong. Because when a person is dead, they are dead. Even for we as Christians today, as we gather together on this place, we wonder, well, is this just an allegory? Is it just a story? Maybe it's just a narrative. It's a story that somebody told, but is it a true story? We live in the scientific world. We live in the world where logic is the thing that always makes the most sense. We believe in the scientific method. We always know that 1 + 1, it always equals 2. The sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. We know that when a person is dead, they are dead. Now, the cynic and the unbeliever would say, that crucifixion story, that story of Jesus rising from the dead, it takes a fool to believe a story like that. The cynic and the unbeliever would say, how could that story be true? But as we gather here in this place, we recognize as Christians that we do believe. And maybe we are foolish to believe, but we do believe in the central tenet of our faith, and that is that Jesus rose from the dead. As Christians, we know that believing is an act of faith. We believe where we have not seen. We believe in places where all evidence appears to the contrary. As Jesus said, there are those who see and see, but do not see. But for we are people of faith, we see with eyes of faith. And those eyes of faith enable us to see things in a way that the world does not see. And there will be people who think of us as fools to believe in such a thing. And yet, as Christians, we proclaim this day that if that is what it means to be a fool, then you can call us all fools. Because we have come this day to proclaim that Christ is risen and that our lives will never be the same. We know that to be a fact in our own lives, not just because we hear about a story from thousands of years ago written in a text that's in a different language that we might understand. We know it's true because we have seen the resurrection power alive and working with us every single day of our lives. We have seen the broken who are made whole. We have seen the sorrowful who come to discover joy once again. We see the sinful who find forgiveness and redemption. We see those who are near death who come to find a sense of peace. We know that there are those who have lost loved ones to death who come to find hope and the promise of eternal life and the belief that they would come to be with their loved ones once again. We have seen those who are lost who have come to find a new path in their life. Those are stories of resurrection. Many people would look at stories like that and say, well, those are just coincidences. Those are just things that happen, ways that people just get themselves up with their own bootstraps. But we who are Christians, who believe in this life of faith, come to see in all of those stories the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ that brings us back from those times in our lives when we think that we are dead, when we've come to a dead end, when we have no hope. We come to discover once again in that resurrection of power of Jesus, made real and known in our lives here and now, that as Jesus rises, so do we. We hear stories of the power of sacrificial love and remember the ways that that kind of love, it transforms lives. We hear stories of people who come to find joy in serving others rather than being served, and we know that that is a truth that is made known in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. We know that there are those who find in a heart of compassion, care for those amongst us who are the needy and the poor and the outcast, those who feel like they're on the margins of society, and find in that a new hope and new humanity, a sense of common humanity, where we come to discover that we are one global family. Now, it could be that others would look at that and say, those are just nice stories. But we who have eyes of faith can see in those stories the very resurrection power, the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Maybe it does take a fool to believe such things. But if you think so, and if the world thinks so, then go ahead and let them call you a fool. Because when we think about this life, we come to realize that we have to believe in something. Many times we can believe in politics. We can believe that war is going to bring peace. We can believe that somehow guns are going to bring harmony in our communities. But if we believe that, there must be a different way and a different message that we can hang on to. The message that we receive this day from Jesus as he rises from the dead tells us that there is another vision and another way. And we see in our lives that resurrection power living amongst us. Maybe that's how Peter felt in the scripture reading this morning. In the scripture passage this morning, Jesus is having an interaction with a centurion named Cornelius. In the portion that happens just before the portion that you all heard from Reverend Dion and from Reverend Hero, Cornelius has this vision. And in that vision, he has come to see the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cornelius, he is a centurion, but he is a believer and a follower of Jesus. And he has this vision, and that vision tells him that he must go to find this man, Peter. Now, around the same time, Peter also has a dream and a vision. And that dream says that he is coming to see the world in a new way. And he can't fully understand what that vision means in his life, and he walks away wondering how it is that he might understand what God is trying to reveal to him. And just at that time, Cornelius's men come to bring him to Cornelius so that they might meet together. And in that meeting together, Cornelius and Peter come to see a new reality that is being made known among them. And it was in many ways Cornelius who opened Peter's eyes to help him to understand that the story of the cross, the story of Jesus' love, the story of the crucifixion, and the new birth of Jesus, that is a story that is meant for all people, for Jew and for Gentile. Now, for those who were followers of Peter and followers of Jesus, they might have heard that story and said, "Peter, you are a fool. That is our Messiah, and that is our story. How is it that story can be made real for others who are outside of the chosen ones?" But in his interaction with Cornelius, he comes to discover that this message is meant for all people. The walls that they had created were being broken down, and the gospel message was meant for everyone, for all of creation. So Peter begins the portion that you heard this morning with the words, "God shows no partiality," that the message of the cross and the message of new life found in Jesus is for everyone. And in that message, they come to believe that the power of Christ and the love of Christ that is shared in community can reach out to new persons, can break down walls that divide, can find unity amidst the great diversity of our world, and come to discover the gifts of new life. And so, if that is what it means to be a fool, then call me a fool. And are you willing to be called a fool with me? Because really, in essence, when we think about it, there are those who would say that if you believe in the cross and if you believe in a God who cares for this world, you're a fool. But maybe it is that for us, we can say, if that's what it is to be a fool, then go ahead and call me a fool, because I believe that God is present and active and working in this world, that God cares about us, and God's love desires to bring us to a new day. Call me a fool. Are you a fool with me? If you believe that peace is not a pipe dream that somebody just thought of, but that we believe that even in the midst of our great diversity, that we can find a way to live in harmony and peace. There are those who would hear somebody spout a message like that and say, "You are a fool to believe that peace is actually possible." But if that's the case, then call us all fools, because we know that peace is the message that Jesus brought to this world, that we might find a way to live in harmony with others. Call me a fool if you need to, but I believe that love is the most powerful force in the world, and that love was made known in Jesus Christ and his ability to go to the cross for all of us. And so, if that is what it is to be a fool, then call me a fool. But a fool believes that the love that Christ has made real and known in this world, that force is the most powerful force in the world, and it can break down walls that divide. It can bring together communities that are separated from one another. It can help us to discover that we can live in a true community as those who might find amidst the great diversities of this world that we can live together as brothers and sisters. Call me a fool if you want to, but I believe that racism is not a given in this world, that we can find a way to live together across the different boundaries of our own lives, the places where people want to build walls between us, that we can find a way to live in harmony amidst the great diversity of this world. For those of you who are new to this church, you may ask yourself the question, how is this church takes on the name Blaine Memorial? You might think to yourself that we're a transplant church from the Canadian border, and we're not. The reality is that when I was appointed here to this church, somebody told me that I was going to Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, and when I told them it was in Seattle, they told me, "You've got to be mistaken, because I only find a Blaine near the Canadian border. I think they told you something wrong. They want you to come up because they want you to get there, but you're not going to be in Seattle." And when I came to this church, I had to find out how we got this name, Blaine Memorial. This church has a long history as a Japanese-American immigrant church, started in 1904, but it was through the help of people from the First United Methodist Church of Seattle and a man named Edward L. Blaine that this church was able to find itself starting here in this community. And it was through the help of Sunday school teachers and leaders from First United Methodist Church that this church got its start as an immigrant church called the Seattle Japanese Episcopal Methodist Church. And during the war, when our community, the Japanese-American community, found themselves under siege and being brought into concentration camps, again, the members of the First United Methodist Church and Edward L. Blaine came to our rescue and said, You can leave the building with us. Pack as many things as you can inside the building, and we will take care of the building, and it will be returned to you when you come back from relocation camps. And so in a meeting that was called late at night, one night, they turned over to the trustees of First United Methodist Church their building and said, please take care of this building, and when we return, we pray that it will be in the condition that we leave it. And so they were gone for 4 years, and when they returned, the building on 14th and Washington Street, that building was returned to them, and they were able to start the church again after they had been in a concentration camp for 4 years. And so in the late 1950s and early 1960s, this church took on the name Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. And I tell you that story because I'm guessing that if you think about the Blaines and how difficult it must have been to stand with Japanese Americans at a time of great prejudice, of war, hysteria, and fear, how difficult it must have been, they must have been called fools by the community to say that they would stand with Japanese Americans at a time when we were at war. They must have been thought fools to be brought up to be able to say that they would stand with a community that was under siege. They must have been thought fools to say that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, even as we might know that there are differences in our communities. And so Edward L. Blaine and the folks from First United Methodist Church, they took care of the building and returned it to this church when we returned from concentration camps in 1945. I tell you that story because it reminds us that those who believe, they might be called fools to others. There are ways that it doesn't make sense, and it's not logical. And yet what we come to discover in this story is that it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we'd be willing to be called fools, because we know that the power of the cross, it looks foolish to people, but the power of the cross, it is life to us. And it reminds us of the power of sacrificial love, the love made known to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. I close this morning with some pictures from a couple of weeks ago. Last week we went to the March for Our Lives in Seattle. Many of you know that the March for Our Lives was a march that took place all across the United States. The main march was in Washington, D.C., but there were marches all over the United States, and there was one here in Seattle. Now, as I was walking on this march, I told the congregation last week that I was really just taken over by a spirit. And as I walked in that march, I was silent. Now, it was not a religious event per se, but there was definitely a resurrection spirit that was alive in that gathering. Because as the children and youth began to proclaim there's got to be a better way, that guns are not our answer, there was a spirit that moved in that community that brought folks together from different walks of life, from different experiences, from different backgrounds, from different stories, brought them all together to march because there is, they believe, a better way, and that we need to find the beginning of a new day. As I said, it wasn't a religious event per se, but there was no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of Christ was alive in that gathering, because it reminds us that there are those voices that proclaim, though the world might think them a fool, they proclaim that there's got to be a better way, and there will be the beginning of a new day if we allow that to work, that Spirit to work through us, to bring us up, to lift us up, so that we might come to discover that God in Christ is alive with us. And so as we walked on that march, we were walking with this gathering of folks, and it was clear that something was moving. There was a spirit that was alive. And for those who have eyes of faith, we saw the spirit of the resurrected Christ moving amongst us, and we could feel that sense that Christ was alive amongst us, and in that we felt an energy that said, this is not finished, there is much yet to do, but we will continue to proclaim the possibilities of new beginnings, of finding an eternal hope and promise, and come to discover in that this is for us the gift of life. We know that Christ is alive. Others might call us foolish because of that, but we know that because of this story, this is the beginning of a new day. The Christ Spirit that is alive in us is born again this day, and it gives to us a hope and promise for this day and for all of the days to come. And so this day, if someone wants to tell you that it's foolish to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that it's foolish to believe in the power of love, that it's foolish to believe that peace is possible, that it's foolish to believe that we can live together in harmony and community, then be able to say this day, as we celebrate this Easter morning, that you can say, go ahead and call me a fool, because I believe this and I know this in my heart. And I would allow that Spirit to come alive through my words and actions so that the resurrection Spirit of Christ might be alive in everything that we are about, everywhere we go, and whatever we do, that that Spirit would be alive amongst us this day and forevermore. Happy Easter to you all. Let us join together in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are grateful and thankful for the gift of this new day, and we are thankful as well for the resurrection Spirit that is alive amongst us. And we are thankful, O God, that though the world might look at what we are celebrating, proclaiming this day, and say that we are foolish, that we would wear that mantle with pride and with joy, because we know that though the world may not fully understand, that we have the eyes of faith to see that Christ is alive amongst us, that the resurrection Spirit that was born on that Easter day, that Spirit is alive in each one of us, and that we would proclaim this day, O God, the gift of new life. And it is in this that we find hope and promise for the gift of this new day. And so on this Easter Sunday, O God, we are thankful and grateful for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the sacrificial love that made his life and his ministry and his resurrection possible. And know, O God, that that is the beginning of a new day for all of us. And so this day we breathe in that Spirit and breathe out that resurrection joy. And know, O God, in this, that though the world might call us fools, we would wear that with pride and know that it is because of you and because of your love that we would find this eternal hope in this life and the life to come. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.